Welcome to the Shake Podcast, powered by Sports Cannabis. I'm your host, Ryan Purvis. We have entered Season 7 with a whole new lineup and new guests while still taking a deep dive into all things cannabis and the representatives pushing the industry forward. Today we have a special guest, Jeremy Smith. It's great to have you on the show today, Jeremy. How are you doing and where are you joining us from?
Thank you for having me. I'm from London, Ontario. I'm actually just moved into a new area, but it's gorgeous here and I'm loving it.
It's nice to be on kind of opposite ends right now. I'm usually in Ottawa and you're down south, so we're covering Ontario pretty good here. Today, obviously, you're pushing the needle in multiple fronts and are actually a board member for the Canadian Cannabis Tourism Alliance. I'm really excited to ask you some questions about that here shortly, and have founded Les Munchies, which I'm very intrigued about. So let's dive right into it. For each guest that I've actually spoken to, there is a personal connection, or at least a unique journey, that's pulled them into the cannabis space. So what made you ultimately make this pivot?
So my journey is a quite long one. So 2 years ago, I was actually diagnosed with Crohn's and eosinophilic esophagitis. They end up giving me, which is standard, prednisone to help with the autoimmune disorder, which caused blood clots in my lungs, neck, arm, leg. While I was at work, blood clots hit my heart and I collapsed, hit my head, have herniated discs in my neck, which from there they gave me opioids, which caused, for some reason, we don't know why, but caused inflammation in my brain. So around my pituitary gland, pretty much inflamed with fluid. And I lost a lot of my vision. I had lost a lot of my speech. I've regained most of my speech, but I have not regain my sensory on the one side of my body. So I have no feeling on the right side of my arm, face, neck. There's nothing came back from that. So from there, I started speaking to neurologists and hematologists and neurologists, hematologists, endocrinologists, gastroenterologists. So I just started speaking to all these specialists and they're all like, smoke cannabis. Some said to eat it, some said to smoke it. But that brought me into cannabis Les Munchies. So when I started going, well, if I'm smoking cannabis to help with the blood clots in my lungs, which is sounds counteractive, but the specialist told me to do it. So I was like, okay, well, I'll try edibles. So I tried edibles, but because I have Crohn's, it ended up making me, unfortunately, pass a lot of blood in my stools more than normal. Yeah. So I lose now so much blood from all these medications and my Crohn's, and I have to go for iron infusions. So now my bone marrow density is diminishing because of everything. So it's kind of like you know what CK levels are?
Right.
I'm assuming. Yeah. So my CK levels are sitting over 2000 right now. So my body's always burning. Like it always feels really hot and tired and sore. So from there, the doctor was like, try cannabis so you can actually sleep at night. So you're not like a fish out of water.
I can't believe your doctor actually proposed that and all your specialists. Like, how was that conversation? Was it like really kind of the first instinct was to push cannabis, or was it an open dialogue that maybe you started?
No, the neurologist started it actually.
So wow.
The neurologist was the first person to start it. And then from there, I started asking questions to the other specialists. So the other specialist did not bring it up first. I brought it up after I spoke with the neurologist.
Okay.
Neurologist was like, look, you have so many medications in your system. You're popping almost 50 pills a day, plus needles, plus all this other stuff. She's like, stop. She's like, you've got to stop all these medications. She's like, try cannabis. It'll help with the pain. Get off the opioids. Get off all this other stuff. And from there, I was like, okay, well, if I want to get back into bodybuilding, and the only thing we have right now is these sugary, non-nutritional, you know, gummies and stuff like that. It tastes good, but for people like myself and working at the hospital with people with, you know, diabetes and, you know, Parkinson's and like the older generation as well.
Yeah.
They don't want to smoke it. They don't want to eat the gummies. They want to have something nutritional. So I found that there was something there that was missing in the cannabis industry, and that's the nutrition aspect of it.
Let's jump into a little bit of the sports and cannabis. Give me your background in sports, your athlete mentality. And
so I grew up around the gym. I loved it. But at the same time, I love sports. So like I was always out there playing soccer, playing hockey, I just loved playing sports. But then, you know, I was 120 pounds. I was a small 23-year-old, you know, 120-pound, 6'2" kid. Yeah. And I was like, I can't do this, right? So I started learning about bodybuilding, getting into the gym. I haven't missed a day even after surgery in over 12 years. So I actually went to the gym with what are they called, drain tubes in my chest. And I went to the gym with drain tubes and they're like, Jeremy, get out of here. I'm like, I have legs. So I did legs day at the gym.
Leg press, let's go.
Leg press. I'm like, I can still do stuff. So for me, sports has always been important to me. I love it. I love that team morality. I love that they're supporting each other. I love the, you know, hyping each other up. Before the last, you know, 12 years of working out without cannabis, I'd never seen it. I never thought of it. I was always that guy going, what are you doing? Like, how dare you, right? Like all this kind of stuff. Or I'd be asleep if that was me. But no, for me, it helps, right? The cannabinoid system is part of sports, is what I say. It is part of how your body moves, reacts, all that kind of stuff. Yep. It doesn't hinder you. It doesn't slow you down. There's plenty of UFC fighters, NBA players, NFL players that are coming forward saying, I use it. And for me, we need to end that stigma. Bodybuilding, huge. What I never hear anyone talk about, our joints, our ligaments are always getting the crap kicked out of us. We're out there leg pressing, you know, 1300 pounds, deadlifting 500-600 pounds and doing all this stuff. No one talks about our joints, you know, going away on us, and our shoulders are usually the first thing that you hear the older guys say at the gym. Yeah. You know, our shoulders are gone, our back's gone. No one's talking about that. No one talks about bodybuilding, and it's professional.
It's really nice to hear your full kind of story here. And I think our listeners are really going to be able to appreciate that. But kind of going back to that cannabis versus pharmaceuticals, we all understand that one, cannabis is the plant-based and the other is synthetically made. But what did that comparison look like when you were first trying cannabis as medicine, as opposed to the opioids and the pharmaceuticals?
So I started with CBD and CBC tinctures at first. I was like, okay, I like it. You know, it's not something you feel right off the bat. So it took, everyone's like, take the time, take the 2 weeks. Not like you just pop up an opioid and an hour later, you're like, I feel good. Like, I feel like I can go do stuff, right? So once it was in my system, I was like, you know what? This is insane. My arthritis feels better. My feeling, like I felt like I had movement again in my joints and my hands. And like, mind you, I'm nowhere near perfect anymore, but I'm better. I'm actually able to, you know, pick up my 2-year-old again and pick up my 6-year-old again, stuff like that, and actually get back into the gym as well. People, when they start doing it, they have to realize it's not the same. It's completely different. It takes more time because the cannabinoid system and, you know, everything has to change, but it does work. So,
and just like a lot of things, obviously, like it takes a lot of trial and error. And I'm sure that you've went, like, and you're probably still going through that, right? Obviously, it takes a while to understand our own endocannabinoid systems and how we react to all these different formulas and even different carrier oils. So let's kind of shift this into the infused foods. I know, obviously, Lee Munchies, which we'll talk about here shortly, but pushing for obviously an even playing field for medical patients and bring that product to life and the shelf life and, you know, getting it into the customer's hands. Or what does that infused food life kind of look like for you?
Oh, yeah, it's been a long journey. The last 2 years, I've kept it pretty low key. I've been talking with ministers, MPPs, MPs, like the AGCO, Attorney General's Office, the Cannabis Council. I've been speaking with everyone trying to get this going. There were so many hurdles. It was, I want to do this. I want to cook properly with it. No, that's a no. I want to do this, though, that's a no. So eventually we came to pretty much an agreement. We're just going to use infusion with oils. So we're going to have to put in the sauces, mix it, put it in. I'm collaborating with a very well-known company, which we'll have to release that a little bit later, but we'll just say it's out of the Western Fair grounds in London, Ontario. So we actually have the Western Fair districts supporting this. I'm waiting to hear back from the CEO right now for the final yes or no. And if not, we'll have to switch locations. But right now we're going to be infusing it. It'll be kind of like a frozen pre-made dinner, but we have options. Your keto, your vegan, your soups, your chicken and broccoli and like all the healthy stuff for you that we're going to infuse with the sauces. We're going to do kind of like a specialty order. So what you're going to do is say, look, I have Crohn's, I need higher CBD, I need lower THC. I only want 0.5 THC, but I want 10 CBD or, you know, so you're just going to be able to gear them because we're not using assembly line, like a factory one. We are using chefs. So that every meal is prepared by a chef. That chef then will bring it to my different facility because you're not allowed to prepare them in the same room. Cross-contamination stuff, right? So it'll come over to us and then we'll infuse it separately. All of our products are environmentally friendly with zero food waste. So if you go to a restaurant, they cut up the food, they throw it in the garbage. Ours does not do that. We actually get ours to a worm farm. The worms decompose it, turns into manure, and then we sell it back to the farmers. So it's a full life circle of where we're saving pounds and pounds or billions of pounds of food waste for the environment. So it goes right back in.
This is amazing. So this is all under the Les Munchies, or this is separate?
So this is Les Munchies. What we're doing is white labeling. So we're using another company, and then we're taking an LP and taking the product from an LP, and we're combining them both. So pretty much we're bringing two big industries together to make one new industry. And I called it Les Munchies.
So you're saying frozen meals, stuff like that. Do you think you could turn that almost into like a subscription model? Almost like
that's what we're doing.
The good food box. Okay, cool.
Similar to that. Similar to those kind of. So we'll be able to do good foods. Where I've actually spoke to someone else who actually told me to kind of do like a good foods box and say, look, now you can make your own meal. So we'll collaborate with the LP. We can actually get them shipped out to your house, then you can make it yourself. So if you've ever had HelloFresh or Good Foods comes in, you can make it yourself. All the ingredients is there. You can do it.
I know that specifically you're putting a really good premium on the brand and your cooking itself or the plates that you're putting out is that nutrition aspect. So do you want to talk about the nutrition aspect of Les Munchies?
So for me, obviously nutrition is everything in bodybuilding and sports and everything. If you're not eating right, your system's not functioning right, you're going to get sick more often, everything, right? So your whole immune system shot if you're not eating properly. And there's so many people that I've realized when I've played hockey and like all these other sports, people would just eat junk. They'd be like, oh, I just finished a game. I'm going to go order a pizza. I don't have time. I'm tired. I don't have time to go do this stuff. And nowadays with so many people working 2-3 jobs that they don't have time to cook nutritional meals. They're like, you know what? I'm going to go to Uber Eats. I'm going to, you know, not to bash Uber Eats at all, but I'm going to Uber Eats. I'm going to, you know.
Time and a place.
Yeah. I was like, I don't have time to cook anymore. No one has time to spend 2-3 hours in a kitchen every day, meal prepping. It's hard. Like it's very tired. For me, because I'm, what's it called? An ectomorph. I'm very thin, naturally thin. I was eating 8,000 to 10,000 calories a day. And I did that for 10 years. Wow. I was eating so much food. It was disgusting. So for me, I'm like, people need to start eating healthy. They can't just go, you know what? I don't have time. Well, now you do. Just pop it out, microwave it, heat it, put it in whatever you need to do with Les Munchies meals. Get your cannabis in there. I've had even like MPP's assistants call me and be like, I've seen you in the paper. I've seen you in the news. My grandma with arthritis hasn't walked in 2 years. So we actually cooked her food, gave it to her, and she's been walking now for some time after. I'm like, that's what I want to hear. So it's the stories where people are calling me from around the world, around Canada, going, I have this condition. I have this condition. It's motivated me beyond anything I ever could have imagined to do this. But nutrition is the number one thing for me in any aspect, especially with someone with Crohn's. So not just sports, but health. So they both go hand in hand. If you don't have health, you don't have good sports, you don't have good reflexes, you don't have good response time, anything like that, right?
Today, athletes around the world are using their platforms to normalize the sports cannabis conversation and to break the stigma. Stay up to date with the latest in sports cannabis news and learn more about athletes leading the charge on www.sportscannabis.ca. The trend towards normalizing cannabis is not specific to one country. Join the movement and let's grow the community together. You know, Les Munchies, you know, I think a lot of people try to infuse their food with a lot of the sublingual oils on the market right now. And I don't think it's well dispersed across the dish / the most optimal way to absorb the cannabinoids. Can you tell me about maybe the emulsion process or infusion process rather into your foods and how you're kind of doing a little bit of R&D, whether you can speak upon it on the podcast or not, but would love to just kind of hear what's working, what doesn't. Like, is there a secret to the sauce here?
I can kind of say a couple things because I've done a couple proposals. I'm waiting back on the final yes or no from Health Canada. Mm-hmm. So I've actually kind of collaborated with Western University, a couple of the students, either mechanical engineer department, actually bring together a whole new machine. Without saying too much, it kind of puts the sauce in there. If you say, I want this kind of layout of the cannabis, of the CBD, CBG, it puts it in the sauce, kind of spins it out, spits it back out. And then we can put it in the food, stir it up, put it in there and, you know, do all the sucking out the air and all that for shelf life. Because shelf life, it has to be four weeks for Health Canada to approve it. So there's so many hurdles we've been trying to battle with And then obviously, like you said, there's a lot of people that even the amazing talented chefs that are out there that specialize in cannabis, they use like tinctures and those kind of do a couple little drops. And I'm like, that's not the same, right? It's not the same as actually cooking with it. But Health Canada is pretty much shut down that aspect of proper cooking it. So I understand why they're doing what they're doing. But it's a step forward. It's a step in the right direction, right? So if, the way that the one minister told me, he goes, agree to this in 5 years or 3 years, we'll come back and we'll do it again. And then you'll propose for the next stage. And he's like, look at this as the next 5 to 10 year thing, but just get your doors open. He goes, just worry about getting your doors open, get your brand out there, and that's going to make the movement. I even had the parliamentary assistant to the premier of Ontario reach out to me and say that they've been waiting for someone with health issues like myself to move this industry forward, to venture in an industry for the medicinal aspect. Now, the only problem that I have to do at the very start of this is I'm not allowed to sell for recreational. It has to be medicinal to start.
So interesting that you're entering such, you know, unknown waters, right? Yeah. You're about to go into a huge, well, you're already in a huge chapter of your life, like myself going into cannabis, but you know, you're helping create kind of this framework as you go here. So super exciting. And I'm super excited to follow along with you and your journey. And it just kind of reminds me, I brought a bunch of homegrown weed back here. I'm over at my parents' place in Orillia, and I'm about to fire the magical butter maker up probably tomorrow, so I might have to hit you up with any suggestions or any kind of tips before I jump into that. But I wanted to kind of bring this conversation into cannabis tourism. I find it super interesting because it is such an untapped market. Obviously with the economy going on with COVID, or if you want to call it post-COVID, whatever, right now it's something that you know, there's potential here. You know, why don't we tap into this? No different than these infused foods, but tourism itself. So what is Canada doing to empower and promote cannabis tourism right now, or are they?
The problem is they're not. So for the biggest hurdle with cannabis in Canada for tourism is the marketing, the breaking the stigma and giving entertainment. It is insane what is allowed and promoted. Everyone now is like, you're 19, go to the bar, get drunk. Like if you end up in a hospital, you win, like kind of thing, right? Like it's that's promoted. To me, that's just insane that we're not looking at this as a tourism aspect. Right. So if I go to Toronto, the first thing I did was literally Google cannabis stores, cannabis lounge. Like that's what I did when I went there. I want to say, hey, where can I go? Where can I talk to people? Where can I go? Like what kind of entertainment? There's nothing. People who are stoned aren't going to go to a dance floor and, you know, dance and, you know, that's for other stuff, but we need to have a market, a venture for people to actually go and have a good time, be it movies or, you know, arcades or just a lounge to chill, play board games, play. Like there's so many opportunities that we could be hitting, bowling and pool and all that kind of stuff.
It's going to be interesting as like a, as an employer or an operator trying to figure out like how that's going to look like going forward. Like there's no way that you're going to be allowed to have an alcohol and a cannabis license or permit on site to consume. So, you know, I think some businesses are about to make some big decision which way they're about to trying to transition into. And, you know, we talked about the red tape there. You alluded to it. Like, you know, the marketing is a huge problem right now. And obviously I hope and I do foresee mass media kind of adopting this more and more, but it's got to be education focused and we need to start educating, you know, the general public on all this. And right now we're not seeing it anywhere, whether it's online or physically. And it's really frustrating that you're driving down the highway and you're going through the city and you're seeing all this alcohol marketing and signage. It's just like, where are we? Where are we going? And obviously some things need to change, some push come to shove here, but I wanted to ask you, how can tourism and education mingle to kind of create that entourage effect?
So while I'm in between meetings with ministers and stuff, I've actually been reaching out to colleges and universities to actually venture in cannabis in an educational process, because it all starts with education. I actually had a meeting with the Minister of Education probably about 2 months ago, right before the election. Had a meeting with her. And I'm like, to me, it starts with education. So why not get colleges on board? I'm speaking to Fanshawe College right now. I already got another college approve a cannabis culinary program. They're actually hiring the dean and everything right now for the very well-known cannabis or college. I'm not allowed to say the name yet, but it is coming. So I'll tell you that it is coming. If we can start educating people and bringing in that way, because how many people do you see that go, oh, cannabis, oh, I don't do it. I don't smoke it. You don't just smoke it, right? There's other things you can do. But for me, if we could get the government to support it and actually see the possibilities of supporting tourism with education, because how many people come to London, Ontario, Ottawa from overseas for education? The second the students go away, a lot of our businesses lose a lot of money because the tourism's gone. The students 100%. Are gone. So to me, it's education, tourism, with the kids as well. So that's, it's not just tourism for sports, it's tourism for education, it's tourism for, which a lot of people don't hit upon, business meetings. How many people travel for business? So I don't drink. There's a lot of other people that don't drink. All these events are going on with cannabis. Where's the after party? Everyone goes and drinks after. Everyone goes to the bar. I'm like, why is everyone supporting cannabis? And then you're going out to the bar to, you know, drink and all the stuff after, right? So there needs to be more in that aspect as well.
It's interesting this, for you to say, like, talk about the Fanshawe and kind of getting into the schooling system, because that's where kind of my head's at too. Like, why aren't we into the colleges and universities really speaking upon cannabis and, you know, these different options medicinally, recreationally? Like, why isn't that going on? And even if it is going on, it's such a small group that, you know, we would have heard some a little bit noise or news about it, right? So for me personally, I would love to get involved with something like that, you know, join a team, put together a little project, and even talk to the athletes, the U Sport athletes. Yeah. I played obviously at Brock University for U Sport. And it's just like, if I had someone that, you know, had that conversation with earlier, you know, so why aren't we jumping in now that the plant is legalized and, you know, we're 3-4 years in now, like, why hasn't this begun? So I really look forward to something like that. And kudos to you for, you know, having that kind of same mentality that we need to impact the people tomorrow, you know, the youth, that's obviously that 19 plus, but, you know, have that, are at that age that, you know what, they need to be educated on this plant. You know, it's been so stigmatized for so long that no one's wanted to talk about it, but we need to start.
Well, if they have mixology classes, why can't they have cannabis classes, right? So that's the way it works. And like working at a bar, I can say I've never once in 12 years had someone on cannabis cause a problem. No one was high caused a problem. I've had people fall asleep, but drunk people do that too. And I'm like, hey, you fell asleep, time to get up. They usually hug me. I've had some guys even like kiss me on the cheek and be like, I love you, man. Like, thank you, have a good night. Like, hey, where's food? Where's pizza? Where's drunk people? They get up and they punch you or whatever, right? And it's insane. But I can honestly say once legalization came into effect, I started seeing the packedness of the bar simmer down. Those people that were coming in were your shoulder to shoulder. You know, we were over capacity sometimes, but whatever. It's what bars do. That started going down to where is everyone? We went from like, say, $20,000 a weekend in sales down to $4,000 or $5,000 a weekend in sales. People were coming later. People were just coming to the close and so on. So we need places recreational for tourism for safety as well. Yeah. We need somewhere safe where people can actually go, not just, hey, I'm here for a sports game. Is there an alley? Is there a, you know, where can we go consume this stuff? So there's a lot of aspects in play.
As Canadians, like, we are kind of the leaders of this, the new world of cannabis. And I just really hope we don't drop the ball. And, you know, we should be at a point right now where, you know, we're educating, you know, we're talking about this plant in a different manner, and we're just not. So I really do hope to see these changes in the near future. But let's wrap things up. I could talk to you for probably another couple hours here. I cannot wait. I can't wait to meet you in person here one day. I'd love to ask this kind of last question. Looking back, talk to us about either a piece of technology, a book, or even a moment that changed your life and made you who you are today.
I would honestly have to say one of my friends who's no longer with us. When I was into bodybuilding, I was like, I cannot figure out what's wrong with my body. I'm eating 8,000-10,000 calories a day. I was a supplement, you know, rat. I was the guy that I'd go to the supplement store and I would spend $500-600 a month. I would try everything. One supplement owner even store over even said, Jeremy, stop. Like, he was like, stop. Like, I appreciate your money, but stop. The one employee there was actually like, who cares what other people say? He's like, education, knowledge. Every time I'd go in, he'd be reading books of our system, our cannabinoid system, our health system. And for me, his impact is what saved my life as well. I was depressed. I was going through all these problems. He actually is the one that told me to go speak to the doctors and ask for specific testing to be done. He's the one that found out why stuff was wrong with me, not all the doctors. So for me, I'm like, education's key. So after I got sick, And this started happening to me. I was like, you know what? Gore did this. I'm like, I love that he did this. So I was in the hospital laying in beds. I started researching. I started going on Google. I started reading books. And I started reading about cannabis, the cannabinoid system, all this kind of stuff. So for me, his impact in my life, as short as it was, I wish it could have been much longer, but it would have to be what he did for me.
Thank you, Jeremy, for joining us on another episode of the Shake Podcast, powered by Sports Cannabis. I'm your host, Ryan Purvis. Tune in next week for another exciting episode on the Shake, and make sure to subscribe to our channel. Stay up to date with new interviews. Thank you for streaming, and we hope you have a very green week. Thank you, Jeremy.